Welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Are you one of many Americans who are tired of people being bullied and discriminated? You are not alone. Bullying has a rippling effect on the person who is being harassed and everyone associated with the bullied person. The targeted adult or child may have been physically or psychologically bullied. They often bring home their anguish with them, and this can have a crippling effect on everyone associated with the one who's being bullied or discriminated. It's time to shed some light on how to reduce bullying in the school systems, how to create safe and healthy work environments for employees. I blow the whistle on how to protect yourself if you're being bullied and educate listeners on their rights if they're being bullied or discriminated. I bring in the best experts who provide empowering strategies, tips on resiliency, how to handle the experience of being bullied or discriminated, how to heal and overcome the effects of being mistreated. If you are ready to gain knowledge and insights on bullying and discrimination, you are in the right place. Welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast.
Hi, I am Dawn Westmoreland with the Empowered Whistleblower. Today, I have Felicia Prescott, and she has a private counseling practice in Georgia and Virginia. She's a certified coach, a counselor. She does workplace winning, which is about anti-workplace bullying and harassment. We're going to talk about that, but we're also going to talk about how she puts her skill sets into use, because one of her specialties is she's a behavioral health transitional leader and coach. Welcome, Felicia. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. Thank you, Dawn. Thank you for having me, and thank you for sharing your space and allowing me to talk about using resiliency and counseling to address workplace bullying.
Yeah, so much needed. Over and over, I hear people say, I'm a victim. I'll be a victim forever. I'm destined to be a victim forever because some kind of traumatic experience, probably bullying or maybe discrimination or both, has happened in the workplace. So I know one of the things that you believe in is about healing and growth. Can you talk about your services and how you help these people?
Sure. Counseling really can play an important part in helping people who have experienced the pain that workplace bullying can create. Counseling is what I would consider a part of a three-prong approach. Actually, one of the parts is training, which I consider the preventive part. And another part is counseling, which is the treatment. And then coaching is pretty much the cure. And counseling focuses on the person. I mean, we can only change ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we can change the way we respond to events and to circumstances, and that's what counseling helps us do.
Yes, absolutely. So one thing I know about you, Felicia, is you've got a lot of years of experience working with individuals on their journey to recover from substance abuse. Do you find that people who are bullied, maybe not all of them, but some of them might reach out to substance abuse because they just don't know that there are other tools out there, or they just may feel powerless?
Yes, you are absolutely correct. Substances are often used just as a way to cope. After a day at work that's full of negativity, it seems an easy option to come home and maybe start by drinking a glass of wine or two, and it progresses. So substances can play a part for people who've never had even an addiction or never been to treatment. And you're right. It can start as a coping mechanism. So one of the things that counseling can do is help with some coping skills, some pro-social and healthy coping skills, as opposed to the road toward using alcohol or other substances to cope with negativity.
Yeah. So I'm just curious, because I know other people that have worked many years with substance abuse. They're experts in that field. Do you have maybe just a rough idea, a percentage of how many people you've worked with who've been bullied, who've reached out to substance abuse? I mean, I imagine our listeners are curious too. I am for sure.
I really don't have a rough idea of how many have reached out to substances, but what I do know for a fact, for people who love facts, is that anxiety is a result in most cases, and 1 out of 5 people have anxiety or an anxiety disorder even. And 5% of the population could meet the criteria for anxiety if they actually sought counseling. And I know that anxiety is most prevalent in women, and women do reach out to substances as a coping mechanism. So it all ties together.
Now that's interesting. Women have more anxiety. Why? What's your take on that? Why do women have more anxiety probably over men?
My personal take on it is roles and responsibilities. Women are usually very responsible and hold that responsibility close to our hearts. We will reach out for help, but because we have so many people to provide care for and love for, we look to help for ourselves last.
Yeah, I like how you said that because I think that's really important these days is that, it's like most of us have been on a plane before, and the first thing they say is, put the oxygen mask on yourself first because if you get knocked out, how can you help anybody else? So,
Exactly.
what kind of advice would you give women? Because I know there's so many women stressed out right now. I know there's men too, but you're talking that more women are stressed out right now or anxious. What kind of advice would you give them to be more resilient?
Well, one thing for sure is that each of us has resiliency that is just inherent. So, women, because as I said, our roles usually involve caring for so many other people, we have a lot of resiliency, which is just the capacity to recover. And people who benefit the most from resiliency usually learn from their challenges. So, for women and for men, I recommend looking at your successes. I mean, really thinking about things that you have overcome and how you did that. I can give you an example.
Oh, I love
So I
one.
work with, okay, so I work with a lot of successful professionals, men and women, who have obtained doctorate degrees. So they've used their resiliency to overcome the rigor of obtaining a doctorate. But then they awfulize about pre-tenure expectations. And their resiliency should beg to ask the question, okay, what's the worst that could happen? You've done so much already. So counseling steps in and kind of gives perspective to things. Life is a journey and recovery is a journey. So helping people look at all of the things that they have accomplished and their successes and their wins is a starting place.
Yeah, I appreciate that, because oftentimes people are like, oh my goodness, this is just so overwhelming. And as you mentioned, is that people have overcome things in their past, probably
Oh,
very big things in their past. And I guess they have to be mindful that they have overcome those things and that we're all very powerful human beings.
yes, absolutely. I work with one person who is actually cancer-free and has overcome the rigor of, I mean, the treatment in itself has to be something that is exhausting and calls on all the resilience that you have. So, what could be the worst? Why worry about something that seems not nearly as significant?
I get that. So let's talk about strong women. And it
Okay.
can be strong men too. A lot of times people lean on those kind of people And I think that puts a lot of pressure on them. So if a person who claims they're a strong individual, you know, strong from the core, I'm not talking about physically, but more mentally, and they start feeling anxious and overwhelmed, what kind of guidance would you provide them?
Well, the first thing is really to listen to your intuition. We can often gauge when we're in unhealthy environments, particularly at work. And just by definition, anxiety is caused by intolerance of uncertainty. So whenever we're not really sure, and there's so many things in life that we're not really sure about, whenever we're unsure, we can become anxious. So some guidance around that would be, of course, to try to control worry. Now, I know worry is unproductive, and you probably know worry is unproductive, but I still do it from time to time.
Yeah, we're human. We're human.
Yes, we are. And I also know that, you know, it takes a while for us to decide to take action. And that's where the stages of change come in. We're all familiar with those. We've heard those where there's pre-contemplation and we're thinking about it. Really, at pre-contemplation, we really have no intention to change. Or there's contemplation and we know there's a problem and we really aren't committed yet to change it. Or preparation and we're intending to change it, or action when we finally get to action. So it takes us a while to get to action. And it takes help from people like counselors or coaches like yourself or HR experts to help people who are in a bullying scenario determine what action to take. So in a lot of cases, for most people, it's just kind of working your way through those stages to get ready to do the thing that's right for you.
Right, right. So sometimes people do want to reach out for the easy button. I think a lot of Americans, especially, because I'm not familiar with everyone in other countries, but I know a lot about our culture, and I'm sure you do too, is that we want to reach out for the easy button. Oh, let's stop bullying. But let's be real. Bullying is not going to stop because we have mental disorders, you know, out there, people with mental disorders, like they're a narcissist, you know, or they're a psychopath. And so we're never going to stop workplace bullying or discrimination or harassment. What kind of advice would you give if somebody comes to you and they say, Felicia, I have a person, they may not use the word narcissistic. Some people don't even know what that is. And, you know, we could talk about that kind of behavior, but how do you handle something like that when somebody is just desperate over a barrel and they need your help?
Mm-hmm. Well, counseling can provide things like relaxation techniques. Counseling can help people cope with what their scenario is. It's really customized for everybody. And sometimes simple relaxation techniques like muscle tension release or concentration exercises, because when you're worried, stressed, or anxious, your concentration can be impacted.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times I work with people to help improve their sleep. Sleep is interrupted, and often medication has been prescribed, but still sleep isn't where they want it. So just exercises to help regain a full night's sleep, which can really help you, you know, at work when you're in a negative environment and you're tired, you can't perform. So things like that, positive self-talk. Using mantras, again, reminding people that you have overcome, these are things that you can do, what would you like to do? So those are just examples of some techniques that counseling can bring into the treatment picture.
Sure. I know that has to be very empowering and reinforcing, and just having I'll just call it a loving mentor, whether it's a coach, whether it's a, you know, a professional expert, a counselor. How do you feel that, you know, being a counselor and a certified coach helps you Because sometimes one, you know, person is just a coach, a life coach maybe, or they're just a counselor, but you have both those credentials, which I think is super impactful, very empowering. How do you feel it helps you to be a better coach and counselor to people?
Well, I do think it helps because, of course, the counseling standpoint looks at the emotional issues and symptoms. And coaching, as you know, I mean, a coach is supposed to help a person be better, a good coach makes a better player, that kind of thing. So when a person has experiences that impact many aspects of their life, I mean, bullying impacts your family, not just the employee. People have to hear your story and you can wear them out. So the coaching and the counseling play together hand in hand. I have another example where several people, and actually women, have said to me, their goal is to keep my relationship with my husband, or I don't want to lose my best friend.
Mm.
So when I delve a little deeper into that, what they're really saying is they've talked about this so much with those people who are close to them and loving and trusted that they feel like they're imposing on that relationship. And so they're reaching out to someone else, a professional, a coach, and a counselor, just to protect what they know is valuable to help them, their support system. So that's where I see counseling and coaching being helpful.
Yeah, I like the fact that you've taken on that extra role of being a life coach, because that's an investment in yourself, but it's also an investment that's imparted onto other people for sure. So okay, what if somebody's in Alaska or Oregon or Wyoming and they want to hire you? Can you work with somebody like that?
I can work with people nationwide who are interested in leadership coaching. I'm licensed to provide counseling in Virginia and Georgia. So as a licensed professional counselor, those are the states that I can do therapy in.
Okay. But what could you offer them if they call from outside Georgia, Virginia?
Well, I'm fortunate, Dawn. I use telehealth. So the technology can be used from any place. And what it really does is break down some barriers. People feel a little more comfortable because there's no waiting room. They don't have to leave work where there's already a strained relationship to make an appointment. They don't have to get in the car and travel. Mm-hmm. So those are some advantages that I find and people express about telehealth. So that's something that people nationwide can utilize to access me or other people who provide services with technology.
Yeah. And so I'm aware of telehealth. You know, I was up at a mental health conference up in the DC area back in, I think it was April of this year, 2018. Mm-hmm. And I learned a whole lot about it. You know, I'm an HR person, I'm a life coach, but I'm not a clinician or a counselor or anything like that. And I was just amazed at how many people are doing that. So you and I know what that is. Could you just spell it out? What is a teleconference or when I say teleconference, telehealth actually?
Okay, sure.
Just for our listeners so they understand.
It's, in this particular case, it's really a HIPAA-compliant version of what a person might use to talk to their family far away or their grandkids. It's a HIPAA-compliant version of a Skype platform, let's say. So everything that's transmitted is conforms to regulations. The person is usually given an access code and they log in that way. And the conversation just happens face to face over either a laptop, in some cases a tablet, in some cases a smartphone.
Mm.
And again, it's so convenient for people. You earlier were talking about in this age of kind of instant solutions and that kind of thing. It does, in many ways, offer some instant gratification because you can make an appointment and talk to me almost the same day, depending on my schedule. So, as opposed to driving in, making an appointment, sitting in a waiting room. it's just one of those conveniences that we have today. One of the ways that technology is good.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm all about, you know, this digital era if it's used properly, because, you know, I know there's a stigma around mental health, and there's so many people out there. I can imagine you're also like me. We want to destigmatize mental health care. You know, we want people to get the health care that they need, because we all know the benefits of getting help, having a breakthrough, and somebody being validated. Because, you know, I talked to a psychotherapist, Linda Ray Crockett. She's over in Alberta, over in Canada. And as she said, that, you know, people who've been bullied, that's a different trauma than another trauma. And she felt that people need to be certified or trained or really experienced in that area if they're helping people who are being bullied. What's your feeling on that?
I do think in a lot of cases it is related to trauma. In some cases it could be secondary trauma. And by that I just mean working in an environment where bullying is taking place, even if it's not happening to you, can result in you experiencing some pain and having the need to have some counseling or support. So yes, I agree with her. And I do think that it helps to have some specialization. But I also see it as something that can be treated through the same kinds of therapeutic approaches as other anxieties or depression, because the result of the bullying is what counseling is treating. In a lot of situations, when I think about the three-pronged approach, people want to know what they can do from the standpoint of their legal avenues and taking things in that direction, but they haven't taken care of themselves, the trauma or the anxiety or depression that it's caused. So I agree with her. Yes, it can be a specialty, but then too, it can be treated, the diagnosis of anxiety or depression can be linked to it. And actually, for example, I learned from you, Dawn, that sometimes, really, that sometimes things are just what they are. It's not pathology. Sometimes it's just a problem related to employment caused by bullying, and it should be documented that way. It's important because it could be a point of clarification later. So rather than just thinking, okay, I'm treating anxiety and these are some of the symptoms and it's related to workplace negativity, to switch my thinking and say, okay, this is one of the causes and I need to document.
Yeah, that's very, very important. And if I can add to that, as I'm always teaching employees when I work with employees, is to document. So if they go to somebody that can diagnose them with anxiety, depression, PTSD, there's, I'm sure, many other mood disorders, then if they tie that in with the bullying in the work, you know, it's written up to say that person's being bullied or feels they're being bullied and, you know, they're having issues sleeping well at night, which is very common. And, you know, full of anxiety, that they're, you know, performing less than their best at work. That's really important because it might have to be used later in negotiating, you know, a fair outcome. And that could, you know, that could be through litigation. And I'm all about settling things at the lowest level, but sometimes a person might get fired from work because they're not performing their best. They're being bullied, and maybe the management, they do know about the bullying, or they're not taking action against the bullying. And then you got a poor employee that's out the door, just, you know, I hate to say the word, but like a train wreck, they're just a mess. And so that documentation is really, really important, and that getting the help and the care is the right thing to do. You know, I'm very transparent that where I have failed with being bullied is that I had terrible self-care. I put everything, all the documentation, the long hours, and, you know, taking care of other people all before me.
And I don't know why I did that. Maybe 20 years in the Air Force, we have a saying, service before self, that was really embedded in me. So it's important.
Okay.
It's very important.
Yes, and that's what we talked about earlier with women. I mean, we take care of everybody else first. I mean, I can share a little of my story. And my story is not what I would call a sexy story with bullying, because it's one of those stories that gets lost in the crack because it's not high profile, but it speaks to what you were saying. I mean, I'm a Black female and I'm educated. And at the time that I was bullied, I was in several protected work classes. Mm-hmm. And I was equal with my bully as far as our work role. And we really didn't have any reason to be at odds. There was really no reason to be competitive. But every encounter we had was an ordeal. And I just learned to kind of be on guard. And mm-hmm. I learned to be suspicious about any action and know that everything had an agenda. And I just rolled with it as best I could until it got out of hand one day publicly. And other people heard me being verbally abused, and they complained and reported it. And so an investigation happened. Unfortunately, a lot of things were unusual. There was an interim HR director. The CEO had announced her retirement. So a lot of things didn't happen as I think they may have under other circumstances. But anyway, nothing happened too much with the investigation. Matters changed for the worse when the CEO left and I was appointed by the board as the interim CEO. I didn't get the job, and the new CEO came and took over the bullying from my bully, where I thought, oh, things couldn't get much worse. Well, he thought that it would be a great idea to reorganize and considered having me directly report to her.
Oh my.
So that wasn't going to, yeah, that wasn't going to work in my world, in my mind. So I did what I knew, which was very little. I wrote to the EEOC.
Yep.
I contacted an attorney. And I really didn't have much documentation other than that one event that was, you know, recorded in the HR file. So I just felt like I had to flee. That was it. That was my choice.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I remember that night I went home and I read a book that's titled Snakes in Suits. And the subtitle is When Psychopaths Go to Work. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm out of here. And I said the next day, oh, I'm out of here. I'm not doing this. So when people like me, you know, who have worked hard for their job and are good at their job, decide to flee, it's just, you know, the story gets lost in the cracks. It's just a person who leaves and takes our pain with us.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, all we can do is take care of ourselves at that point. I got some severance, which I deserved, because I was protected. They knew they were doing things that shouldn't be done, but there was nothing else I really thought I could do or spend energy doing. So, you know, you leave and you take your pain with you.
Yeah, and that's a good point that you brought up about you leave and you take your pain with you. You know, I just wrote an article last night. I write as a columnist writer for the Good Men Project. There, you can Google them if you're not familiar with them. Good Men Project. They get about 4 to 5 million hits on their website a month. It's about the betterment for men, but women can join, and they love women writers. And I was talking about narcissism, and sometimes one of the best things to do when you cannot move to a different apartment or avoid that person is to get out of there. And that takes backbone. It takes courage, because you're leaving the familiar, even if it's not good, and you're moving on to either become an entrepreneur, possibly to retrain, to go back to college, or to a better suited job. And that really takes courage. I don't see that as weak in any shape, form, or fashion. It takes friggin' guts to move on. It doesn't mean you gave up. It means you made a smart decision to get out of there, because you're not going to change these people, and you deserve to be happy, healthy, and peace of mind, right?
Absolutely. And counseling teaches that you can only change yourself. And in my case, I mean, I got another job doing the same work within 2 months. I took a pay cut, but I kept my sanity.
I think that's important. I really do. And, you know, this morning I was sharing with you before we got on the interview that I don't know why I woke up feeling a little bit grouchy, and I know why. It's something that's been kind of bothering me, something I have no control over. And I'm running to the grocery store before we do this interview, and I come back and I see all these doves all over my yard, and I had to smile because to me, doves mean peace. And I'm like, all right, Dawn, peace out. You know what's going on. You can't control it. Let it go. Yeah, feel it, process it, let it go. You know, be mindful.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the past.
Absolutely.
Don't worry about the future. You know, one thing that we haven't talked about, I would love your advice on setting healthy boundaries with people, even in the workplace.
Oh, wow. Boundaries are really difficult in most cases. And when something is going on that's negative, it's really hard to set boundaries, but it's important. And it's important because you have to maintain your own character and your own values. One of my favorites is Dr. Wayne Dyer, and he used to talk about sending love to people who you have conflict with. Okay, that's super hard when you're mistreated. It's just, okay, I'm supposed to be sending love. How do I do that? But I think he's talking about forgiveness and peace, which is also like really hard when you're in a bad place. It just seems impossible at the time, but as time passes, you can kind of see your way through. But anyway, I think that it's important for us to remember what you just said. You can only change yourself. So work on modeling the way that you want to be treated. Work on mentoring other people. Work on speaking positive expectations. You know, if you're in a leadership role, be encouraging. Create impact moments for people, even if you're not getting that from your leader. It's that old saying, everything I learned in kindergarten. Just kind of trying to take it back to doing the right thing and being kind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually got to meet Dr. Wayne Dyer back in April of 2014. And I went up and I had this intuitive feeling that I'd be called up on the stage. I was at a writing course, writing from the soul course. He had it in Fort Lauderdale. And I intuitively knew I was going to be called on stage. And sure enough, the last day I was called up on stage and he said, finish this sentence. I was a victim. So anyway, I got to meet him.
Wow.
I got to meet him in private and I got to tell him I loved him because that was, you know, because I read his books. And ironically, Felicia, I'm actually reading Spiritual Solutions to Everything. I might not have said the title right. There's a spiritual solution to everything. And I know what you're talking about because I'm almost done with the book. I like to reread really important books like that over and over and over and reinforce. But yeah, love is a higher. If you're a spiritual person, it's a higher vibration. If you are more of a traditional person, still just sending kindness and love to that person, even if it's not verbally saying it to them, just puts you and that person in a better place.
Yeah, I listen to him on audio when I drive long distances. And so he said that in choosing your own greatness, but it is difficult. When you're in a challenging place, it's just hard to step away enough to want to give love and forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And even humor, you were saying, okay, you know, the work of being a helping professional is hard. And I mean, whimsy has its value. A sense of humor really can help. It can really save us. And sometimes it's just too soon for people when they're in a really challenging situation to see humor or use humor. I'm in one Facebook group and there was something posted that was really pretty funny. And I just, it was about stopping workplace bullying. And I read the responses and I said, oh my, this is just too close right now for people to see that this is funny. This is funny. So at a point, you know, humor is always good, but at a point when you can accept it and use it, it can be helpful.
Yeah, I love humor. And there, you know, it took a long, long time for me to get to that. I've always been told, smile more, you know, you're so serious. And I'm like, well, I am kind of a serious person. But lightening up is so much fun. And it's, I think it adds years to your life. And I swear, it just lets you forget that, you know, that life happens, that there's going to be different experiences that make us uncomfortable, but they're part of our growth. So, is there anything we haven't covered you'd like to address right now before we wrap up? I hate to wrap up, but we got to wrap up.
Okay. No, I know. Well, I think as a general statement, just in closing, sometimes it's good to do some things like little assertiveness tests just to see where you are. If you're in a bullying scenario, just to see where you are with your assertiveness, if you're ready to take on a fight, even if it's a fight using coaching and legal help, just to ask yourself some questions like, you know, can I handle situations confidently where somebody's being unfair or mm-hmm. being aggressive, or if I'm being patronized or put down, can I question this without getting angry? Just questions to ask yourself to see, okay, where am I a little bit more objectively? And I mean, I think in closing, just to normalize things, as humans, we all just want to be seen and valued. And that's not only at work, that's in life in general. That's all we really want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, for the listeners, somebody might want to reach out to you, to hire you, to meet you, get you to speak somewhere. You never know, a joint venture. How can people get a hold of you, Felicia?
Well, I have a website, and the title is a little long. It's counselorcoachconfidant.com. And people can go to the website, get tips and information from the blog page, and there's a contact page. So that's counselorcoachconfidant.com. Then I have a Facebook page, because Facebook seems to be the thing to do. And that's just facebook.com/F Prescott.
Okay.
And the simplest thing.
Spell Prescott.
Is just a phone call.
Listeners, I'm sorry.
I will.
Yeah, Prescott.
No, that's fine. It's PRESCOTT. So F Prescott. That's the Facebook link. facebook.com/F Prescott. And the simplest thing is a phone call. And my phone number is 478-569-7069. And I provide no cost consultations, no appointments necessary for those. That's just a 10 or 15 minute consultation. Because with counseling too, it's important to be a match. And I would advise anyone who's looking for a therapist to do a consultation and make sure that the person that you're going to work with is a match for you. There are lots and lots of links and listings out there to find a local therapist. So have that consultation and make sure you're working with somebody who is a match for you.
Well said, well said, because that's so very important. If you're working with somebody that you can't bond with, trust, and I think it's important that person also say, hey, you got to show up, and you also have to be accountable too. It's not just you're going to sit and talk and do no action. I think it's very important to have a great relationship with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, very educational, very inspiring. You're very motivating. And I thank you for all that you do out there to help our people become more empowered and to become more resilient and less anxious. Felicia, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Dawn. I appreciate your letting me again bring some grassroots to this. You have so many powerhouse people on your podcast, I have to say I was so intimidated. I said, oh my gosh.
You're one of them. What people don't realize, yeah, I've interviewed, you know, people like Erin Brockovich, but what people don't realize is that she's a human being. And, you know, I remember talking to her, meeting her over a year ago, and I'm 5'10", and I think she's 5'11". She's a little, you know, smaller frame than me, you know. I got to talk to her. She's a human being, and we're all human beings, and she's just more well-known. But, you know, you have brought to light very simple but effective ways that people can help themselves. So I see you as a powerhouse, Ms. Prescott.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your time, too. I really do.
Yes. Okay. To everyone, stay tuned to our next episode. Stay empowered. Reach out to Felicia. That's F-E-L-I-C-I-A. Prescott is P as in Paul, R-E-S-C-O-T-T. And look forward to being on the next episode with you.
Thank you for listening to The Empowered Whistleblower. As your host, I will continue to bring in the best experts to share their knowledge and empower our listeners. Nobody has to feel like a victim. There are solutions to bullying and discrimination. Everyone deserves to be treated with respect and dignity. All our future shows will offer practical guidance so that anyone can choose to stand up to bullying and discrimination. You deserve to be happy, and life is all about choices. I always welcome comments and suggestions for new shows. Please comment and share your ideas, and be sure to come back for more inspiration and empowerment. I am Dawn Marie Westmoreland signing off and wishing you much happiness and empowerment in your day.